Okay, so this is, I think this might be the last part of our four parts. This is the fourth part on hindrances to commitment. And today we're going to talk about priorities and possessions. Now this is actually, you know, what's interesting about this is because sometimes we can, you ever think like you've heard something before and you think you got it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know. I've already heard that so many times. And you think you got it, you're good. And then the Lord shows you something, you think, oh man, maybe I don't got it. Maybe, you know, and I was talking with a friend and he went to a gym and he was telling me, you know, they were giving him a fitness level test. And he hadn't gone, but he said, he's in shape. he goes, I'm in shape. And when he went, he said, you know, I didn't do as well as I thought I was going to do, and my body hurts all over. He goes, I couldn't believe I wasn't as in shape as I thought I was. Right? Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
And that's just because sometimes as time goes by, we think we're doing something, but maybe we're not. And or in our mind, we look back to a time when we were doing something all the time, so it was easier. And so we have to, like, maybe take an honest evaluation of where we are, right?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So In this, part four, we're going to look at the importance of proper priorities and possessions and identify key areas in our life where the enemy may try to influence us or deceive us into thinking we're somewhere when we're really not. Now, I'll give you an example. Here's the thing about being deceived is you don't know you're deceived. Because if you knew you were deceived, you wouldn't be deceived.
Exactly.
Right? So here's the definition of deception. It's the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what in fact is really false or invalid.
Mm.
You know, maybe the enemy, he could tell you, you'll never get free of that. Whatever it is. And then if you believe that, he deceives you into telling you something that was false, convincing you it was true.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good at it. He's subtle. He's sneaky. Right?
Yes.
Jesus said this in Luke 21:8. He said, take heed, or be aware, be careful, that you be not deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the way I look at it, if it was impossible for me to be deceived, Jesus wouldn't tell me, don't be deceived, or be aware, so you're not deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have never been concerned again in my life of ever getting pregnant, me. it's never came to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because regardless of what you might hear out there, men don't get pregnant. Right?
Right.
Amen.
So, so he said, don't be deceived. So I have to, he says, take heed or be careful, which means if I'm not careful,
right,
I could believe something that was not true as it was true.
That's right.
As it was true, right?
Right.
So if he told me to pay attention, so I won't be deceived. If I don't pay attention, it means I could be deceived. Right? And again, not thinking I could be deceived means I'm already deceived.
Yeah, right.
Thinking I could never fall for that, then I won't put my guard up.
Right.
And then when I fall for it, I don't realize I even fell for it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So sometimes we can get to a place where the enemy might deceive us, and we don't know we're even being deceived until I'm through it on the other side, and we look back and we go, oh, man. I couldn't believe that.
Right.
You know, I couldn't believe I was so deceived in the way I was thinking. Thinking something was true when in fact it really wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So the Lord doesn't want us to be deceived. And in fact, it talks about in Revelations 12, verse 9, it says that that dragon was cast down, the great old serpent, which is called the devil, the one that deceived the whole world.
Mm.
So he's so good at deception. I'm not magnifying him. You know, I'm just getting you to understand. This isn't a message all about the devil and his ability to deceive. But you have to realize you have an enemy who's out to try to get you to accept something as true when in fact it's really false. Amen? So if he could deceive the whole world or the multitudes or even other angels, then we need to be aware that there may be some things in our life that could cause us to be deceived or because we're thinking wrong when in fact we could be free, mm-hmm. and we have to recognize I could be free from that if, and it's not even up to God, it might be up to me. Mm-hmm. But I have to change the way I think, right? And what I'm reading, what I'm inputting into my mind. So with that, I thought one of the things, it's a really big thing, that could hinder our commitment, or hinder our commitment level to God would have to be something that I would consider called covetousness, to covet. Mm. Now I know, as most believers, you think, hey, this guy, I don't have a problem with covetousness. I'm okay. Now we talked about deception, right? Thinking you could be covetous, because in your mind or my mind, we might identify being covetous only as over one thing. Mm. But it could affect many areas in our life, not just one thing. And if I thought, you know, just me as a person, if I thought, I don't have a problem with covetousness, it's almost like I can't covet, I'm so spiritual. Right? This is not so.
No.
And when we actually look at what covetousness is, then it'll give us new insight as to maybe some ways the enemy could deceive us into coveting when the Bible tells us not to do that.
Hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
So I have a whole bunch of examples set up. So even if I only help myself today, I'll be happy. All right, Luke 12. Here's some clues. We'll start with verse 15. Luke 12, and we're going to look at verse 15. You know, sometimes, I know last week we talked a little bit about sports, or, you know, the Super Bowl was last week. I didn't watch it. But there would have been a time where I could have thought that I couldn't get by without watching it. Mm. You know, there could have been a time in the past where it was so important to me that it consumed my thought life. And yet, whether you watched or you didn't watch it, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying my attitude towards that thing could have been, hey, I could never. I have to watch the Super Bowl. Right? I mean, you know, this could have been what was playing through my mind in some years past. But if I go, or maybe it's a hobby or something you like or whatever it is, but as you grow, as you mature, you might look back and go, oh, I'm kind of embarrassed that I used to spend so much time on that thing.
Mm.
Right? And that maybe you were deceived in your thinking how you thought that was so important. And then as you grow, the Lord shows you more, you realize, wait a minute, that wasn't that important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So thank you, Lord, for freeing me from that. Now I have to focus on what I perceive as being what? Really important.
Yes.
See, I used to like collecting sports cards, not cars. I would like sports cars maybe too, right? But it did dawn on me that if a player did something bad because they were a person, the value of their card would crash.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have had... You know, I know most of you guys know who Roger Staubach is, right?
Yeah.
I met him one time in the airport in Dallas. I was going through. And I was from Minnesota, so we talked some about the Vikings, Dallas, you know, games and all that. And he was just talking to me, showing me his finger, how he had this knuckle replaced and this knuckle. I'm kind of glad I didn't play that much football. Anyway, but it was interesting because looking at how much time was invested in that as a kid, and then as you grow up, you realize, wait, maybe my priorities weren't always as straight as they should have been. But now that we've grown up in the Lord, we want our priorities to be what? His priorities.
Amen.
We don't want the enemy to deceive us into thinking that something else is more important than what it really is.
Yeah.
Or something else is true when it really isn't, right? So Luke 12, 15 says this. He said, observe and be aware of covetousness, because not in the abundance of one's goods is your life. I thought this was an interesting verse, because he's even talking to believers or his followers, and he says, beware of covetousness, because it's not the abundance of what you have that doesn't make up what your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a definition of covetousness is having a craving for possession marked by inordinate or unnatural desire for wealth, or possessions, or for another's possessions, even what somebody else has. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't really have a lot of money for candy. So I always craved and coveted the candy other kids had. You know, the popular kid in school was the kid who had the most candy. And I didn't realize, if somebody asked me, I would go to Sunday school, but I was never taught that that was covetous.
Yeah.
I just wanted their candy bar, or at least have them share it with me. And it's interesting, because as you grow up, we're not aware necessarily of how we're marketed to by society as a whole. Like, if you can get this thing, then you'll be special. Then you'll be somebody.
Yeah.
If you go to this school, then you're smart. Everyone wants to covet to get to that school. Mm-hmm. Then if you live in this certain neighborhood, and if you drive this certain kind of car, then you're special.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're important. Then you're somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get this,
mm-hmm.
even though you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to work hard so you can get this, so you can become somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, if you're honest with yourself, if I'm honest with myself, look at your neighbor and say, be honest with yourself.
Be honest with yourself.
When you got that thing you thought you couldn't live without, it didn't change you.
No.
You're the same person you were before you got it.
Yeah.
You know, you get this new outfit, you think everyone's going to look at you. No, they don't care. You drive this new car, you just don't want no one to ding it or bump it. Right?
Yeah.
You know, the way you drive it might be different. New car. And you got your head in a different position. You're up a little bit higher, like you're somebody. Where you're driving your old car, you're just hanging out, smiling, you know. When you drive a new car, you got to look more important. And nothing's really changed.
Yeah.
Right? You're the same person.
Yeah.
And you think, or I could think, if I can get that thing, then people are going to really admire me. They're going to really like me. I can get this position. If I can get this following.
Mm.
If I can just get this. Whatever you're trying to get that you don't got is being covetous. Think about it. You're desiring something that you don't have, and it starts to consume your thoughts. Maybe your money. Like, how many of you ever said, if I could just get a little bit more money, then I'll be happy? Yeah. And when you got the money, you weren't any happier. You needed a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because you thought, oh, I was just a little bit too low on my estimation of what I needed. If I could get a little bit more, that would have made me happy.
Right.
And then when you get that more, you go, man, what's wrong with me? I gotta move it up higher.
Mm.
So no matter how much you get, you're never really happy,
because
you're putting your value in what you what? Possess.
Yeah.
And your priorities may be wrong, right?
Yeah.
So it's not in your possessions. And I say this just because it's okay to have possessions. You look at 3 John 2. Here's what it says. You want to turn to it. Beloved, concerning all things, this is what the Lord wants for us. I desire that you prosper.
Yeah.
But what does prosper mean? It means to do better, to have more. Right? So, above all things, God wants you to prosper.
Yes.
That's what he said. I want you to prosper.
Yes.
And be in health. Does that mean he wants you well physically? Even as your soul prospers. Mm. So you're not only supposed to prosper, you know, would God be a good God, a good father, if he wanted you poor and broke and to have nothing? Would you be a good earthly father or mother or parent if your kids didn't have anything and you were happy about it? Say, yeah, you lost everything. You're dumb. You deserve it. I ain't helping you. Learn the lesson. Move forward. I mean, if that was you really delighted in that, you might have to be tough with them. But you wouldn't want that for your kid.
No. Mm-mm.
And God doesn't want that for you.
That's right.
But at the same time, he doesn't want you to be so consumed about getting stuff that you forget about him.
Yes.
I've noticed this with kids. Starts in the nursery when they're really young. Doesn't matter how many toys they have, they always want what the other kid has. I've noticed it with my daughters.
Yeah.
I said, did you get this attitude from your mother? Yeah. Is this something that the enemy... This one even has to pray for her. what is up with you girls? You got 10 dolls, and you all want what each other has. And it's like, I don't get it. I might just start taking them away. Do you want me to take them away? No. Then change your priorities.
Yeah.
Regarding your possessions.
Amen.
I don't want to sit here and have you guys coveting these things that are supposed to be a blessing to each other. Yeah. You're supposed to be enjoying these toys, and yet you're not enjoying them. So my solution would be what? Take them away. And I don't want to increase you with more if you can't be happy with what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Which brought me to this point. How can the Lord increase us if we're not thankful and rejoicing over what he's already given us?
Amen. That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
I mean, he wants us to be blessed and to have more, but for us to qualify for that, one big area is it says we are supposed to be rejoicing. I tell you why. Think about this. If you're coveting, you're not a happy person.
Mm.
Are you? Mm-hmm. Don't raise your, don't, just look straight ahead and smile, don't raise your hand. But I know from experience, see, I would guess we've all missed it.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And if you're rejoicing and you're happy and you're just loving the Lord, you can't be covetous or desiring what other people have and rejoicing and thankful at the same time. It just don't work that way. Either you're going to be rejoicing and giving God thanks for the things he's already blessed you with, or you're going to be coveting and wanting what somebody else has, thinking that's what's going to make you happy.
Mm.
It's either or. But I have noticed that if I get tempted to be sad, it's because I get my eyes off of him and my eyes on other stuff that I don't have, that I think I might deserve, that somebody else has that I don't. Like, why do they have that? I would be better off than they would. They don't even know how to use the thing right. They don't even take care of it. They don't even do this. They don't even do that. Amen?
No.
But that's not us. We don't want to be like that, do we?
No.
So the Lord wants us to prosper and be in health. But it's also in accordance as our soul prospers.
Yes.
So if you want to prosper, you got to protect your soul, your mind.
Yeah.
And part of that is, you have to realize that, hey, I'm supposed to be a rejoicing, happy, thankful person. If I'm being rejoicing and I'm thankful and I'm exhibiting joy, I'm qualifying for more to be thankful for. But if I fail to do that, then what happens? I get my eyes off of him. You know, back in the Old Testament, God would have parties where people would just rejoice. You know how many times he tells them, rejoice, be glad. Be happy. Enjoy life. Rejoice. He keeps telling them, rejoice, rejoice. Why? Well, when you're rejoicing, you're thankful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have more joy. It's better for you physically, right? And then you don't have time to be contemplating, coveting what you don't have. Because you're too busy giving thanks for what? For what you do have.
That's good. That's good.
And he tells us this all the time. Look at that. He says, Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Psalms 97:12 says, rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. So these are some things that we're supposed to do that rejoicing helps protect us from being covetous, right? Or desiring, letting your thoughts think that the more I can acquire, the more happy I will become.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple of illustrations that we're going to look at that will remind us that this is not the case, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can look back and I can think of things, like, when I got my very first car, I didn't care what any other car on the road. I was just happy to get my own car.
Yeah.
But after you have it for a while, you start looking at, well, I don't like it anymore. It's not as shiny. It's not as new. It's not as fast. I want something else. I want what they got.
Wow.
Something more.
Yeah.
Something bigger. And then I cease to give thanks for my car.
Yeah.
And I start desiring and thinking about what somebody else has. And you know, this goes back, when you look in the Bible, I mean, people say, well, we don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. Well, they never went away.
Yeah.
It's not like the Ten Commandments were erased.
No.
It says, thou shalt not covet anything that's your neighbor's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But New Testament, it says this, love your neighbor as yourself. Right?
Yeah.
If you love others, you don't want to take what they got.
That's right. That's right.
Or trick them out of it.
Right.
Yeah.
Thinking you deserve it or you should have it or I think I should deserve it or I should have it.
Mm.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hebrews 13:5 says it this way. Hebrews 13:5. It says, this is how we're supposed to live. It says, without covetousness behavior, being content with the things that we presently have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
That's good.
Right?
That's
and you know, Hebrews was written to the church.
Yeah.
To Christians. So, we're supposed to be focusing on, we're content with what we have. It doesn't mean we can't believe God for more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
You know, I can believe God for more. I'm not stuck where I am. I can believe for increase, but at the same time, I realize that that increase is not as big a deal as my relationship with the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
And I should be focusing on my relationship with the Lord that he promised he would never leave me nor forsake me. Because all the stuff we have, you realize you can't take any of it with you.
Right.
Right? When you leave the earth, and I don't mean if you went to the moon. I mean if you left the earth. You left your earth suit and you traveled into eternity. You don't take anything with you.
Yeah.
But the one thing you could take with you is your relationship with him.
Amen.
This
good.
Is a thing that you cannot lose.
Right.
That you cannot, you know, that can't be taken from you.
Yes.
Or stolen from you.
Good.
So, he says, if you think about it, like, I think about it like this. If there's no rejoicing of giving thanks, then if all I'm doing is looking at acquiring more stuff, I'm failing to recognize, hey, the Lord's still with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can believe him for those things.
Mm-hmm.
He can get me that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to covet something I don't have, because thinking that it's going to add to my life, when really he's the one that adds to my life.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Like when I was, if I think about, for me, if I'm real, the times I was most spiritual, besides Sunday, right? Sunday, all y'all. But it's when you're so excited about your relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Nothing bothers you and
yeah.
nothing controls you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you let that grow a little bit cold, then you kind of get, you know, hardening of the attitudes. And it impacts you in a negative way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you forget that he's still there. He's still for you. He wants you to rejoice because he's with you. I mean, it's a little bit easier for me, I guess, or if you have children, or if your older children act like little children, you can understand. But if I'm going out to play with my daughter, and they don't pay any attention to me, and they're not thankful for anything I've done, it does not bless me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do a realignment. Barbie is going in the trash can jail for a little while. You understand? In my wrath, I will remove her from your life. Barbie will be removed from your life. Right? Until you repent. Until you reform your thinking. I mean, think about it. And you are no different. God is jealous over you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you pursuing all these things. He wants you to pursue him.
Amen.
And he'll add all those things
yes.
to you.
Yes, right? Yes.
You don't have to work on getting it all by yourself. The key is spending the time to, what? Take the time to fellowship with him.
Amen.
And not allow all these other, like, what do we really spend all our time on? Well, I got to work because I got to get this, and I have a goal, and I want to get that, and I got to buy this, and that's kind of expensive. And well, I understand all that, you know, and he understands all that, right? Doesn't the Lord know? He knows. He knows you need money. He knows you need things to operate in this physical world. He just doesn't want these things to control your thinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Look at Matthew. Matthew 6. See, again, covetous, when we desire more stuff or the stuff of others other than what God has already given us, you know, it's not wrong to say, hey, look, somebody's got that. That's nice. I like that. Or,
yeah.
Wow, this is a one of a kind. I want something. I don't want his, but if I want something like it, I can believe the Lord for it, but it shouldn't consume me. Right? It shouldn't consume me where it spends all my time. And it controls me. That's not what the Lord wants. So, Matthew 6, verse 19, says this. This is from the Young's Literal Translation. It says, treasure not up to yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust disfigure, and where thieves break through and steal. But treasure up to yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust disfigure, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For now, this is important. Where your treasure is, that will be where your heart is.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's telling you, it's okay to have stuff, but don't make it your treasure. Don't put all your treasure down here. Why? Because you have thieves. You have things that just wear out. You got rust.
Mm-hmm.
You got moths, you got stuff that, your stuff will deteriorate. But if you put your treasure in heaven, right, it says you store it there, you'll never lose it.
Mm.
So it's not wrong to have the treasures. Where are you placing it?
Mm.
And in the final part of that verse, he says, for where your treasure is, this will be where your heart is. So, you know, I know we say, like, I'm going to store it in this safe and put all my money in the safe, and no one's going to get into that safe. And it was interesting because a few years ago, you remember when Japan had that tsunami that caused Fukushima, the whole
mm-hmm.
reactor incident? They had all these floating safes that were washing around. Because the water was so powerful, it uprooted safes and just swept them away.
Wow.
Or, you know, what if you would have had stored something in the bottom of Building 7 in New York, World Trade Center, whatever, and all collapsed down, it's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or he had, everything was digital and it got wiped out.
Wow.
All of these things, no matter how big and how smart we think we are, we're not that big and smart. Mm-hmm. We could be deceived into thinking something is totally secure, only to realize later it wasn't.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so here, he's wanting us, the Lord wants us to realize, hey, if we store something, let's store it up in heaven.
Amen.
So I said it this way. I like this. Where it's safe from loss, it's your GPS device to your heart. GPS standing for your gospel priority status. Like, where do you put the gospel in your life? If the Lord said, don't store it up here, store it up there. The only reason I would want to store it up here and do the opposite of what he says is because I think that my life consists of that stuff. You know how many people, you know, not you, nobody in here, but you know people when they lost their home or something, they feel like they lost everything. You ever hear that?
Yeah.
Did you lose everything? I mean, they're still alive.
Yeah.
They didn't lose their mind. They didn't lose their talent. They lost some stuff.
Right.
And they feel like their life's over and they're a loser. And they didn't lose everything. They still got God.
Amen.
But if all their value was coveted in what they possessed, they thought that's what made them someone, now there's a problem. Right? And it doesn't mean God can't get them all back. But they have to change their thinking, right? Yeah. Back toward him. So, Mark 14. Now, I think we'll get to what I call the good part. I think it's all good, but this is even better. Mm-hmm. Because there are some subtle forms of covetousness that we may not recognize, right? So, I'll try to do my best to give you a couple illustrations or examples. All right, Mark 14, verse 1, it says, and the Passover and the unleavened food were after 2 days, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeing how by trickery or by guile they could lay hold of Jesus so that they might kill him. And they said, not at the feast, because the people will cause an uproar. And he, being in Bethany, the Lord, in the house of Simon the leper, and at the time it was dinner, there came a woman with an alabaster box of ointment, very precious, and having broken the alabaster box, she poured it on his head. So, this is interesting because it says that the priests, the chief priests of the Pharisees, they wanted to kill Jesus. Do you know why? Because they coveted the crowd of people that followed him.
Wow.
This wasn't about money. This was about, we want more people to follow us. We want more influence. We want more. So because of that, they want to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
The show says, I want to be the leader. Look out below. All those people want to be the leader too. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's eating dinner. This woman comes and she breaks this very expensive oil. I call it the essential oils of the day. Back then, you know, they're all essential oils today. They have some essential oils back there too, right?
Yeah.
She broke it and she poured it on his head. And there were many people, there was certain much displeased with themselves saying, she has wasted this ointment on him. She could have sold this for more than 300 denars and given it to poor. And they were murmuring. Now notice the word they, so it wasn't just one. They were murmuring at her. What is this? This, my friend, is covetousness.
Mm.
And this is why it's so subtle, so sneaky, and yet it's so sinful, because they're judging her over something that isn't even theirs.
Mm.
It's hers.
Yes.
And they said, why did she do this? She could have sold them. I mean, I could have sold, you ever do that? Why'd you spend so much money on that car? You know how many cars? I could have bought 4 cars. You spent $100,000 on that truck? You could have bought 2 good used trucks. You know what that is? It's covetous. I'm coveting what you did with what you have.
Mm.
In a sense, I'm loving money, your money.
Mm.
Not my money, yours. I'm telling you what you should have done with your money. But is it my business? Go ahead, tell me. Is it?
No.
No. It's not their business what this lady wanted to do with what she had.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I did. Here, I have an illustration for you. Okay. I went all out. I got these organic ramen kit right here. I got the Shin Ramen noodle cup, spicy flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the very popular Maruchan Ronald Newman's noodle soup. Now, some of you go, no, I don't like that. Well, maybe I like them. So I can buy whatever I want, right? But you know how much this cost? $250. Pricey. Right? How many of you would spend $250? Why not, Anna?
Not on a ramen.
Don't worry, it's my money.
Not on a ramen.
This one, okay, this one's 98 cents.
Yep.
That was good. This one's a solid 20 cents right here.
That's plastic.
But here's the point. You won't spend it on ramen. Did I waste money? Lisa says I wasted money. What is Lisa doing? She's coveting. The reason I say that, what's the difference if I want to spend my money on a $2.50 Shio spicy chicken, no MSG added bone broth special ramen noodle kit? What's that to you? Right? But what if I did, what if I wanted to spend the 20 cents? Well, at least he's thrifty. You know, I could have bought 12 of these for one of these. And you can say, look it, that could have went so much further. Why'd you buy this? Well, you could buy 12 of these. What's wrong with you? You ever think about that?
Yeah.
You're going through this grocery store and looking at what people put in their carts? They could have bought the generic brand, saved money. I wouldn't have bought that. What's the difference when we think like that compared to what the disciples were doing? What if we said, hey, that car, that's a rare car, that costs $200,000. You go, well, that's a lot of money. No, you didn't hear me. $200,000. Okay. No, listen. Is it even though my money?
Yeah.
Why do I care what they do with their money? Because, sure, does anybody want this, by the way? Okay. Anybody want this, by the way? Come on, somebody. All right, anybody? Tony? Anybody want the Shin Ramen? All right, I'll share with you. So I can give to whoever I want, couldn't I?
Yes.
Also, if it's mine. So why do we make it an issue in life when we look at what somebody else buys and we go, well, I wouldn't buy that. Mm-hmm. They're wasting their money. What are we doing? We're judging them. Mm-hmm. We're being critical. We're actually, in this sense, we are coveting their money. This is why I say it's so subtle. Because we don't look at it as coveting. We look at it, we're just being frugal, right? But we're really being led by money.
Mm-hmm.
Just like someone said, I wouldn't buy the 20-cent thing because it's 20 cents. Or I would buy it just because it's 20 cents. I would never buy a $2 noodle. No way. $2, no way. Maybe a dollar if I'm happy. Why do we do that? Why do we judge each other for doing that? Does it matter to me if you want to drive a new car? Should it matter to me?
Mm-mm.
As long as you're right with the Lord?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So here we see what happens. That woman, it says, that oil represented it would cost, on average, you said a year's salary. So a year today, on average, between $40,000 and $60,000.
Wow.
And she goes, poof, there it goes. 40 grand out the window on the feet, over the head of Jesus. And that room's going to smell nice for about 2 hours. And then it's gone. And people are like, oh, they got a problem with this. You know how many noodles you could buy with 40 grand? I mean, think about it. That's a lot of noodles.
That's a lot of ramen noodles.
A lot of ramen noodles. You could have gave that money to the poor.
Wow.
You could have fed the poor.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's interesting.
Yeah.
Is Jesus said, and you go through the scripture, he said, Judas, one of his disciples, when he saw that, he couldn't take it anymore.
Wow.
He said, that's it. Because he said he didn't care for the poor, but he was a thief. And he held the common money bag. So he's thinking, what? I could sell this for 40 grand, keep 20 grand, and still give back 20 grand to the church. And it looks great. I could still feed a bunch of people. But now that lady ruined my whole plan. Mm. She just wasted it. And he was so covetous, he couldn't take it. So he's got to go to the Pharisees, who are covetous, the religious leaders, right? They're coveting power, influence. They can't take it. He goes, hey, I'm going to sell them out for 30 pieces of silver.
Wow.
They go, okay, deal.
Wow.
Over money. That wasn't even his.
Wow.
Don't get mad about the noodles today, guys. It wasn't even yours. Right? But here's the thing. Could Judas have taken his own money to feed the poor if he cared about the poor?
Yeah.
Yes. Could you and I, if we really cared about the poor, use our own money to go feed the poor?
Yes.
Yes. So what does it matter? It's not a matter of what somebody else is doing, it's a matter of what you and I are doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many people get upset? Like, how much did you spend for that? How much did you spend for that? How much did you spend for that? And it's not that they actually care. It's they want what you, they're more concerned about what you're doing with your money than what they're doing with their money. Because they're coveting your stuff.
Right.
And you know, it's easy to look at this. And here's what I think is amazing here. So as we look through this story, Jesus says to him, leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
Leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
She's done a good thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Now here's what's really fascinating to me is that this woman comes in. She takes, I mean, it could have been an heirloom, whatever, 40 grand and just throws it on, you know, talk about an expensive bottle of frankincense oil,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Blows it. It's gone. And Jesus says she did a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it's not about the money here. It's about her heart.
Yeah.
Because it represents her heart. And here's what I didn't see before that I saw when we were looking at this. Is he died a few days later.
Yeah.
They crucified him a few days later. I mean, she would have waited a week or 2 weeks or a month, said, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. God understands. I'll do it later.
Uh-huh. Wow.
She would have missed it.
Wow.
You understand?
Wow.
If God puts something in your heart to do something,
yes.
then do it.
Yes.
Don't say, I'll do it later when
yeah.
it's a better time. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Because you may not have that later.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
You were holding on thinking, see, she's thinking, my life doesn't consist of this perfume.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do something great with it.
Wow.
Other people would never give it because they think it makes them somebody. But you see, Judas and even the others were complaining, like, that's a waste. But it didn't. They didn't care about the poor. If they cared about the poor, they could have used their own money.
That's right.
And you hear it all the time. People go, don't do that for God. God doesn't need anything from you. That's too much for God. You notice Jesus didn't say it was too much.
No.
He said she did a good thing.
That's right.
Because it was from what? Her heart.
Amen.
So when you're looking at,
that's
you know,
right.
We need to give to the Lord what we have in our heart today.
That's
Don't
right.
wait and say, well, when it's a good time.
Because
you may not have that time.
That's right.
And if I'm not concerned about what other people are giving or what other people are doing with their money, oh, they wasted it. They wasted it. How do you know? How do you know? They wasted it. You don't know that. Because if you judge them, like, well, they shouldn't have to drive that kind of car. Well, then, let me ask you, what kind of car do you drive? Do you have to drive that kind of car? What kind of food do you eat? Do you have to spend that much on your food? What kind of clothes do you wear? You understand? You don't need to turn on your heat during the cold days here in San Antonio. Just bundle up with extra clothes. You can just kind of chill out, literally, for a little bit.
Amen.
Just chill out. Why do you have the heat so high? That's wasting money. You could give that money to the church. You could do this. You could do that. It reminds me, I'm almost done. But one time, you know, sometimes you have those salespeople that come in to the church, and one time this lady comes in and says, we want to sell you some paper products. I'm like, okay. She goes, this is our prices. I go, well, we don't buy a whole lot. You know, I'm just being nice. We don't buy a whole lot. We just usually buy ours at Costco or something, you know. And she's like, well, you could save money. I said, well, you wouldn't really know that because we don't really spend that much. She goes, well, we're cheaper. I said, she goes, don't you want to give more money to the church? And then I said, you shouldn't have went there. But I said, let me ask you a question. How much money do you give to the church? She goes, well, I go, do you go to church? And she goes, no. I said, so do you give any money to the church? Any church? She goes, well, no. I'm like, why are you so concerned then? I'm asking her a serious question. I said, if you're so concerned about the church, but you yourself don't do anything for the church.
Yeah.
So it tells me you're not really that concerned for the church.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that would make, if I have that attitude, that would make me, what, a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Because I'm more concerned about what you're doing, and I'm not paying any attention to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm judging you for how you're spending something, and yet I'm not even looking at me or my heart, how I'm spending something.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many needs, we could be doing this. But then I could be doing that with $5.
Mm-hmm.
I could start somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when we look at deception and how the enemy tries to get us off track, when I talk about covetousness, is we can say that idea of that's not fair, I would never spend that much money on that. It just has to do with a value system. You understand? This lady, Judas missed it in a big way. But this lady, she got in there right before. I mean, think
yeah.
about it. If she would have waited much longer,
yeah.
you wouldn't be reading about her story.
No. Mm-mm.
She wouldn't be in the book.
That's good.
Because she made a priority of her possessions, realizing,
yeah.
hey, I can't take this with me to heaven.
Yeah.
I want to do something that will honor the Lord.
Yeah.
Do something good with it
yeah.
that's in her heart.
Amen.
Not something that someone told me to do, but that I want to do something like for the Lord.
Yeah.
So when we look at this, and we look at, you know, the idea of desiring or craving what other people have, one of the ways we can get around that is by thanking God for what we have.
Yeah.
Being happy when somebody else gets something that's nice. Being excited for them. Amen.
Yeah.
And then rejoicing in what we have. Thanking God. God, thank you for all the things you've given me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you don't like your chair that you have to sit on, you think, oh, it's kind of old, I can't lean this way, it'll fall off, it'll break. But thank God I'm not on the floor.
Yeah.
And just start thanking Him for a new chair. Don't try to sneak someone else's chair away when they're not looking. Or take something that doesn't belong to you.
Right?
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Or start looking in your mind, well, they don't deserve it. They got two chairs.
Mm-hmm.
They could give me one. They'll understand if I have to take it from them without them knowing. You understand what I'm saying? all that self-justification of I should have what they got,
yeah,
is coveting, desiring something you don't have, and rather looking to the Lord to meet that need, you look to yourself. And you it becomes an idol, in a sense,
mm-hmm,
in your life.
Yeah.
So we don't have to compare what people spend on things. It's dangerous. Because if they like it, well, what's it to you? Maybe the Lord gave it to them,
mm-hmm,
right? I mean, what if the Lord gave you something really nice? What if the Lord gave me a really nice ring, like a huge diamond ring, so when I talk to you, like, oh, man. And rather than being like, ah, he probably stole that from someone. He probably prayed for someone, grabbed a hand, slipped it off. Rather than thinking like that, you should be like, whoa, Lord, I'd like a ring like that. But I'm happy with the one I have.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
Rejoicing in what you have now,
yeah,
will help you get to where you want to be or what you're believing for in the future.
Yeah.
But coveting or complaining is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Comparing, like, I don't have this and I don't have that. We want to avoid that. Amen?
Amen.
And if we have something in our heart to give, remember, your life doesn't consist of all the stuff you have. You know, at the end, it says what? Everything's going to be burnt up.
Mm-hmm.
So one person's pile of ashes is going to be a little bit bigger than another person's, right? But in the end, it doesn't matter, does it? No. No. And so it's really about your relationship with Him.
Amen.
So focus on that.
Yeah.
You know, engage in, Lord, I want to rejoice in You. I'm going to be thankful for You. And in closing, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was in China one day, you know, it's hard to find a size 12 shoe. Size 12, the size I wore. It's hard, man. Actually, I had 11 and a half, and it was kind of crimping my foot because I had it for a while. So I got to get a size 12 shoe, and I couldn't find a size 12 shoe. Finally, I found an American friend. He wore like a size 12. And he said, hey, you know what you want this pair of shoes? And I'm like, well, it was like a Nike tennis shoe, right? And I said, well, okay. And they fit. So I wore it, and it was good, you know, it was raining outside. And I think, oh, these are great. I'm just thankful for these shoes. A little bit more room, comfort. And as I was walking, I heard a noise. So what's that noise? I looked down and the shoe started to come off. The flat. So, you know, it's floppy. He had them for a long time. It was all rotted, that one shoe. So my one shoe's flat. I'm like, man, I can't walk like this. So I had to take off the flap. The whole tread came off. So now I'm walking, and it's like, it's the foam, but my sock's filling up with water because now it's just foam. So I'm limping because, you know, there's one shoe higher than the other, and my one sock is all wet. And I'm thinking, you know, well, thank you, Lord, at least I got one good shoe. And then what happened on the way home? The other shoe. I made it home. I'm like, well, thank you, Lord, for my, I'll get another pair of shoes. But you're not going to complain. And the idea is to complain. And I did talk to my friend. What's up with those shoes you gave me? That was not a blessing. He goes, yeah, I had to have them retreaded. I guess the glue just wore off. I'm like, terrible. But, you know, instead of complaining, see, I could have been coveting those shoes, and when I did it. But if I was, when I get them, they weren't a blessing to me. If I would have been coveting, I want his shoes, I want those shoes, I want those shoes, I need those shoes. And I get them, and they fall apart. And sometimes that happens in our life. When we think we're going to covet what somebody else has and make our life better, it makes it worse.
Yeah.
It can fall apart and cause us more problems.
Yeah.
If we keep our eyes on the Lord,
yeah,
right, and we remember to rejoice,
mm-hmm,
He'll reward us.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right.